Yes, good morning. The fourth string is here, and you guys are doing great. You're very kind. Not only that, but if you watch the Chiefs game on Christmas Day, QB1 was in the skybox staring down at QB4, and that's what I got today, too. Talk about pressure. I just realized I don't even have the mic on, so I'm just going to use this right here. So glad to be together. Kale said nobody'd be here, and you guys are showing up. It's so great to be together. What a great time of year. I love this time of year. I hope the Christmas season, the New Year's season is meaningful to you, whether it looked a lot the same as many years or whether it looked a lot different. Hope it was a meaningful season to you. And this end of the year, beginning of the year, I think is a great time to remember what our purpose is as a church. And we've been going through this four-week series on wonder, meaning like, you know, we should be in wonder and awe of God. We're waiting for Him. We're worshiping. And this morning we're going to talk about witnessing. Kind of a scary word for some of us, but I'm going to remind us what our mission is as a church, and it's really helped me personally too to be a personal mission statement. And we all know it, right? And that is to reach and equip people for Christ without borders, right? What a great reminder to be reaching out, to be equipping, which means growing each other, growing to be more Christ-like without borders, which means at home, across the street, across the country, across the oceans. What a great reminder that we exist to reach and equip people for Christ without borders, and the vision of that is that we would see fully devoted followers of Christ. Disciples, right? Fully devoted followers of Christ. That's the goal, to see people believe in Christ and grow in maturing in Him. I'm reading a book right now called The 100X Leader, and the 100 means like your perfect leader, right? And if we think of being a perfect disciple, we know we'll never get there. But think of how you can be even better this year. And the X is what we're going to talk about this morning. And the X means to be multiplying, to don't let it just end with you. You know, on the football team, we talk about it takes 1 year, one class to lose culture, right? It takes one generation to lose the gospel, right? If we don't pass it on, if we don't multiply, the kingdom will not continue to grow. And today, we're going to focus on the reach part of our mission. Reaching and equipping people for Christ. We're going to work on the reach part, which is kind of like the word witness goes with that. I know that can be a scary word. What does it mean to be a witness or to witness for Christ? Right? Sometimes we have pictures in our mind. A witness is, you know, a street evangelism, you know, or just handing out pamphlets. But it's much more than that. That might be part of it, but it's really a lifestyle. It's really your life. We like to say it's everyone, everywhere, all the time. That it's the same whether you're in church, it's the same whether you're at home, work, or wherever you might be. So let's get really practical. So at the end, I'm going to have 3 points, and spoiler alert, I'm going to give them to you. We're going to go over them at the end. But when we're thinking about witnessing, there's 3 things to do that helps me to keep it simple. That's pray, say, and obey. And we're going to get to that just in a second. So there's a couple core passages that's going to help us. Acts 1, verses 8. I'm going to pull up on the screen. Acts 1, 8 says this. But you, this is Jesus talking to the very first believers and disciples. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Right away, one of the first things we're taught is that it's going to be us. It's hard to believe that. It's going to be ordinary people like you and me. They're going to multiply this message. Isn't that wild? That God uses us, ordinary, everyday people, changed by the God. He even uses the fourth string preacher.
sometimes.
And so why do we do this? The passage I really want to focus on this morning is Romans 10, verses 9, and we're going to go through 14. But Romans 10 really is the why behind the reach. It's really the why behind the reach. In Romans 10, verse 9, let's just read this together. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and one is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between anybody, Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And here's the why. How will they call on him on whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? You see, that's the why in that last word, preaching. I want to focus on that for just a second. Had some good time this week studying and preparing. And the word preaching there, sometimes we get in our mind that has to be the preacher, the professional. And that's really not the word at all. The word is announcer. The word is messenger. Now, it can mean someone who has been professionally charged to go give a message. But that's what we have been commissioned by Christ, to give a message. And here's the cool thing. It's not our message. It's God's message, right? We don't even have to be responsible for the result. We just have to proclaim it and say it and see what happens. We are his instruments to reach the world. It's crazy that he trusts us with who he is. And with the Holy Spirit, because I got to be honest, I doubt myself on this. I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I can speak well enough. I don't want to mess it up. I'll be honest. So I hold back sometimes. But what we got to remember is it's God's message, it's not ours. And with the Holy Spirit, you have what it takes. With the Holy Spirit, you have what it takes. You don't have to be perfect, thank goodness. You don't have to have a seminary degree, thank goodness. You just have to believe and trust in Christ. In fact, you are perfectly positioned in somebody's life to share the gospel with them. God has perfectly positioned you in somebody's life to impact them for the gospel. You don't have to be charismatic or eloquent, although you might be. Just be faithful and authentic. That's all it takes. You don't have to know everything in the Bible, right? You might get a question you don't know. But guess what? You know something. You know something. Just say what you know. Because we know the gospel. Let's be reminded of that. That the baby in the manger that we got to celebrate this week, who came, the God of the universe came humbly as a little baby in the most humble of circumstances, grew up just like you and I, went through the world, the pain, the suffering, the sickness. Now we know we never sinned, but he went through the same stuff. In fact, he grew up to be a man, and he grew up to be a man that said, I'm the Messiah, the Savior. And that got him killed. He grew up to be the Savior for us, to take our sin upon Him, to know there is no way you and I can have a relationship with God. We are destined for hell without the baby that grew up to be a man. And He loved us so much that He took it on the cross. And then He died. 3 days He was in the grave. What an awful 3 days. But on the third day, we know that He rose again. He came to life and now is seated at the right hand of the Father. And we know that because He rose, we also have life when we trust in Him. What an amazing story. And you know the story. Just tell parts of it. It's kind of like it's easy to get familiar with it, to forget that, I mean, somebody died. And I'm not going to do anything with it or about it. But when you really realize how much He loved you and died for you, you're going to want to do something about it. People need to be told this message. They need a preacher. They need a teller. They need an announcer. Don't let the word preacher bother you. Maybe it's a text. Maybe this is a good use for social media to put this out. I don't know. Maybe it's a letter. Maybe it's time talking to someone. Let's go through the Bible. A couple of people who did this in Scripture. Just wanted to give you a couple quick biblical examples. 1 John 1. You don't have to turn there, but there's a lot of Johns. John must have been good at this. 1 John 1, verses 1 through 4. We'll put it on the screen. And here's what these guys did. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. These are the first eyewitnesses. We have to believe by faith, right? These guys saw it happen. They saw it with their eyes. We looked upon, we touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And then verse 2. The life was made manifest, and we saw it and testified to it and proclaimed to you. So they saw it, they touched it. They're now proclaiming to the next generation the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things down so that our joy may be complete. Here's the first guys. What if it stopped with them? What if it stopped with them? What if they never told anybody? What if they didn't write it down? These first guys were faithful to proclaim it and to say it, or we would never have heard it. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, is another passage with a little humor to it. With a little humor to it, John 1, verses 45 and 46 says this. Philip, okay? Philip was one of the first followers of Christ. Jesus walked around and said, hey, follow me. And Philip was following him. Philip found Nathanael, okay? So ordinary guys. And he said to him, we found him. We found of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote. It's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We found him. And Nathanael said, what in the world can come out of Nazareth? I just love the humor of that. It's like, what can come out of Fairview? Are you kidding me? You know? They're like, what can come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, oh, come and see. Philip said, come and see. That's all you got to say sometimes. Just come and see. What if he wouldn't have? What if he wouldn't have? What a great reminder there. And then in John chapter 4, I'm going to briefly summarize the woman at the well. And yes, Jesus is proclaiming himself to her, but what I want to focus on is what she does. So here's Jesus and his disciples, just a quick summary. They're hiking across the countryside. They have to go through Samaria, which is the worst for Jewish people. Can't stand the people. They can't stand the country. Certainly don't want to tell these people and be friendly to them, right? Now, if we're honest, is there someone or some people like that in your life that you're like, nope, not going there, not talking to them? These are the people. And they're going through the countryside, and they're at this, they're thirsty, they're hot, they're at this well. Somehow Jesus and this Samaritan woman end up at this well, kind of together and sort of alone there for a brief time. And Jesus says, "Woman, give me a drink." And she basically says, "What? You're a man, you're not supposed to be talking to me. You're Jewish, you're not supposed to be talking to me. I'm a Samaritan woman, and you have no idea how bad my life is." And he said, "Yes, I do. I know that your life is awful. You're on, I don't know, third, fourth husband, not even married now, living with a guy." And just, it was all this stuff. And she's like, and he said, "The water that I will give to you, you will never thirst again." And she realizes he is the Messiah. And here's what she does. Here's what she does in verses 28 and 29. "So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, 'Come and see. Come and see this man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?' And they went out of the town and were coming to him." And then look at verse 39. I'll put it up there on the screen. Verse 39 says, "Many Samaritans..." You guys, these are the unsavable people. "Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. She said, 'He told me all that I ever did.' And when the Samaritans came to him, they even asked him to stay. And he stayed there 2 or 3 days." Can you imagine his disciples saying, "What are we doing?" He's like, let's tell these people. "And they stayed there 2 or 3 days, and many people believed. And they said to the woman, 'It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves.'" You see, when you're proclaiming, they don't have to believe you. But when they come and see, they'll believe in him for themselves, and they will indeed know that we have the Savior of the world. You see, I believe when you really understand how much God loves you, you'll love people. And when you love people, you will not want them to perish without Christ. You will not want them to go a day without knowing the greatest love story ever told. For even though people like me have a hard time with this and are kind of shy about this, the most loving thing I can do is tell somebody instead of shy back. So three things helped me. Here's the 3 points. If you like to take notes, QB1 down here doesn't always have notes. So I put number one in the bulletin. That's Kale, by the way. Number one is pray. I encourage you to pray. Ask God to help you. Don't do it alone. He says he's always with you anyway, so pray that God will show you who to witness to. If you've never seen the movie Hacksaw Ridge, let me use that for an illustration. If you have a stomach for a really gory war movie, it's really good, but it's really gory, just to warn you. Hacksaw Ridge, a World War I battle. I thought it was World War I. Oh, it's two. QB1 says World War II. World War II. And it's this battle on this cliff. And one of the medics, he's a guy who doesn't carry a gun because he's a conscientious objector. He doesn't have a gun, but he is a medic. And he's in the worst part of this battle. It's awful. And they're like, "It's too bad up there. You can't save anybody. And there's too many people. There's too many bodies." And he says, "Let me get just one." He climbs the net. And he says, "Lord, give me one more." He finds another one. "Lord, give me one more." And he lowers them down in a rope. And he spends all night lowering about 40 guys off of this cliff. "Lord, just give me one more." What if we prayed, "Lord, just give us one. Show me one this week." Number two is say. This does require some form of communication, right? This does require us to say something. Again, we don't always have to know everything, but like, this is a great time of year. You know the Christmas story. What if he just said, isn't that, what do you think about the King of Kings, the Lord of all of the universe, coming in a little wooden manger or a stone manger, whatever it was? What if he just said that to somebody and just saw where the conversation goes? I don't know, say something. Say something. And the third one is obey. Be ready. Be ready to obey. Hopefully your words, your actions are meeting your words. Hopefully you're living a life that lines up, right? We're not perfect, but hopefully your life is lining up with what this says. Obey in that way. Obey with your actions. Actions are important. They might be the only thing somebody sees, but we know we also have to say. Obey by one good thing to think of is inviting people. Maybe invite them to church. Maybe invite them to your house. Invite them to coffee. Invest in people. Use programs to help you. Programs maybe that the church puts on, like inviting people to things, but personal contact is always best. Personally talking to people is always best. Man, think of that goal of being a 100% perfect, fully devoted follower of Christ. We all desire it, right? Some of us might be a one or two. Some of us might be 60, 70, 80. Wherever you're at, think about, pray about, what can I do to move up that scale just a little bit? And how can I multiply? How can I be a disciple making disciples? Matthew 28, I'll leave you with this. Verses 19 and 20. This is the Great Commission. This is the last words of Jesus when he is leaving the earth. And he says, go. Don't stay where you are. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them everything we talked about. And I am with you. I am with you always. What if there was just one more here next week? What if there was just one more next week because of something you said? Because you shared the message. There was a man who loved you so much to die for you, even in the state you're in. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for saving us. Thank you for sending the baby who became a man, became the Savior. Lord, I pray for one more. I'm taking this personally in myself, too, that you just show us one, Lord, that we'd share this gospel, that it would not end with us, not end with this, the people here, just this church and this day. It would multiply throughout Sabetha, throughout our area, throughout the world. Thank you that you're worth it, Lord. We want to be your witness. Help us to be faithful to it. In Jesus' name, amen.